thank God, he mentions over and over again, Paul, in his letter, that it's by the Spirit. It's not through the words that Paul is saying so much of his own. It's through the Spirit of God. And he mentions that over and over again in this chapter and throughout the book of Ephesians. And in fact, all through his writings, he's talking about the importance of the Spirit of God and how we are to understand things through the Spirit. Today, we have the third sermon that has to do with the church from the book of Ephesians. The first one that we had was talking about the origin of the church. And you'll remember that it was talking about how it's not in people coming together to break bread together that the church was formed. It was actually before anyone was ever created. But it was God's plan before the foundation of the world and that people were created and inhabiting this earth that the church was originated. It originated in God, not in mankind and through people. It's realized through, and it's his plan that people were to be that church. And that is later on explained, especially in the book of Acts. And we're living that out here, you and I, in this church today, that we are the church. We're not coming to a building. We're coming to a place to gather as the church. And that's a very important thing to keep in mind. And we sometimes forget it. But that's the most important thing, is that God has originated it. He has brought it into being. And we, being here today, are living that out. It's a great thing. You know, it's not like I'm just going to church in that building. It's like I'm going to church to be with my brothers and sisters in my church family. Right? And then the second part was the building of the church. And of course, the cornerstone of Christ is the building of the church. It's all centered around Christ. In the midst of all of these things, we have been learning that Paul has a heavenly attitude, right? He doesn't just look at things from an earthly view. And that is especially helpful for us today when we're thinking about what's going on in the world and we're challenged by war and we're challenged by all the things, not just war. You know, this whole emphasis on Ukraine is really enveloping, and it really does affect a lot of things. But it's not the only problem in the world. Would you agree? It's not the only one, and everybody's pouring all, and with reason. There's a lot of injustice that is happening there, and we pray to God for His mercy, and we pray for ways for us to be able to see somehow that there's going to be a solution for that problem. And there are people that are taking steps to do that, but there are a lot of problems going on in our own towns, in our own lives that we're facing. And that's when it starts to be kind of overwhelming, right? You start to feel like, wow, how am I supposed to deal with this? Well, we're not supposed to be able to deal with this on our own, but we have God and we turn to Him and we trust with the faith of Abraham that God does have a means and a help for us in these times, no matter what happens, right? And so it's good for us in these times to not go away from what God is saying to us, but to be drawn to it and to look for the answers in God's word. And that is what we're here to do today in the book of Ephesians, right? And today we're being brought into this function of the church, the purpose of the church. What is our purpose? And I don't know what you would say if I were to ask you that, but it's a really good question for us to ask. What is the purpose of our church? We have a mission statement. We have a vision statement for our church. And I would say in a word that it really has a lot to do with the gospel, spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ, letting people know. And Paul is doing that here, right? But he's giving us something in this scripture today that most of us will not really know about unless he were to tell us in this chapter here. Or at least we may know it, but we may not fully understand it. And I'm not sure if I fully understand it, but God wants us to go there today and to look at the scripture to be able to see what the function of the church is. And it begins with him talking about his stewardship. The kids were talking, this young lady was talking about stewardship, administrative duties, you know, in this life. And Paul's stewardship is to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. He's an administrator. You never think about an administrator in that kind of a way, right? We think of an administrator who's like, okay, I have this job in HR. It's my job and I'm supposed to do the hiring and firing in the company that I work for. I'm an administrator, right? I'm supposed to oversee, you know, the secretarial kind of things. I run a meeting or I prepare documents. I send out emails. I do what I'm told by someone else, right? And so this is really what Paul is doing. He's taking the directions from God and he is serving that role as a steward. It's not just someone who has a responsibility to give money. It is someone who has been given a ministry to do the work of God and to carry that out. And that is what he calls himself here. If you look in Colossians, I think it's worth it to go there for just a second. Let me just turn there and read you something that is a good explanation. Some of you have an ESV study Bible and you can start to really use that to explain a lot of things as you go along. It says here in Colossians 1:25, there's a note in my Bible that says the stewardship from God. Paul views himself as a divinely chosen steward or administrator. This word was used widely in the Roman world for the administrator of a large household or an estate. Paul's responsibility was to make the word of God fully known. That gives an administrator a much different kind of a view, right? You're not just somebody who's writing down things and sending out those kind of things. In fact, no one in what they're doing in life is just merely someone who is fulfilling a task. You're a child of Almighty God. You have been given your life for a purpose. You have been given your life so that you can help in that way to make the word of God fully known. That takes us into a whole nother realm. That takes us out of the what are we going to do kind of a thing into this is what we're going to do. This is what I need to do today. I need to begin to put my prayer life into place. I need to study God's word because I am being equipped for my administrative duties, my stewardship and responsibilities as a child of God to make known the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is for everyone. You're not just merely given a task in a church as an administrator for that purpose alone. You are a part of the body of Christ that is in that direction, bringing hope into the world where people are saying there is no hope. That's beginning to understand what the function of the church is. Right there at the beginning of this chapter, he talks about that. You may have heard about the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. It was given to me for you. Can we all say that? It was given to me for you. It was given to me for you. Amen? It was not just given to me and here I go. I'm off. I'm on my own. I go my own way. I've been saved and that's it. It's been given to me for you, man, for you, woman, for you, children, for everyone. So we can run and we can hide, but the truth is that God has given us each that stewardship and that kind of a ministry with that in mind. When we receive grace from God, it is not for us. It's to be given to someone else. Okay? It's for us. It is for us, but we are not to keep it to ourselves. So then he says this, how the mystery, a mystery was made known to me by revelation as I have written briefly. And so he talks about how Jesus came into his life on a road where he was going to destroy Christians and it was revealed to him. This stewardship was given to him and it was a very dramatic way, right? That Paul was made, it wasn't just that Paul was saved by Jesus Christ. He was called on that road where he was going to destroy Christians, called into the stewardship, the ministry, to make the gospel known, to make the purpose of God known. That was his, all of a sudden, his focus was away from killing, brought into saving. And that is what the world needs today, wouldn't you say? I want to kill as many people as I can so that I have power. That is the world. And that's the voice, not just in Russia. We're talking about New Jersey. So let's not get too carried away with what is happening in Russia, let's look at our own situations, okay? Because if you do that, then you're going to start to lose your purpose in life, your ministry, that your stewardship that God has given to you here. But we do believe that God is mighty, and when we pray for his salvation in Ukraine, you know, then it's going to happen. But we don't want to just think, man, I wish that what didn't happen, because look at all the price we have to pay for gas now. That would be a shame. That's not what it's about. It's about this, the world is being fought over by evil, and it's not Russia, as we're going to see. Okay. Russia is filled with many good people. What we're talking about is an evil that is on a spiritual level that we're getting into here. And that's what Paul is going into this for. He was evil and he was healed by Christ and made a minister. The mystery, it says here, is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers in the promise of Jesus Christ through the gospel. And so that is the mystery. It was something that was not known at that time. It was only for the Jewish people. The mystery, though, is that has been revealed, is that it is not just for the Jewish people. It is for all people, all Gentiles. And he says it very, very plainly here for us. If you keep going through scripture, you'll get the answers you need. But it says here that verse 5. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And that's what we're talking about. The Spirit of God has revealed this, and it revealed it to Paul, and it revealed it to other apostles and prophets of the day, that there was a message that came, and it said Jesus Christ died for all people, not just the Jews. And that is the mystery, and that is what we are a part of, because we belong to those who are saved and the ones who have been saved through the gospel being given to us. We belong, if we're not Jewish, we are belonging to the Gentiles, okay? This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs. Heirs, someone who inherits something that is going to be a part of something that is going to continue on. Right. And so everyone, we need to understand, and we really need to stay with this. And I'm hoping that you're praying as you go along, as I'm speaking, so that you can have the Spirit speak to you, because it's really necessary to understand that we are a part of something that is going to go into another world. We are going to be a part of heaven one day when we believe in Jesus Christ. We are heirs of the things that Jesus has prepared for us. And we are, as children of God, we are heirs, and we inherit eternal life and all the glories that God has for those who believe in him. So if we can, as a church, in Grace Church, start to take that in, okay? It lifts us out of the things that are weighing us down, because we are stewards of the gospel. And it takes, and one of the things that we're learning more and more as we go along in this world these days, is that it's going to take all that we have. Surrendering all to Christ, surrendering everything that we have to him. And if we don't get that, God is going to make it clear to us, and we're going to get it later on, but we are going to get it, that this life is not just for now. It's not just about getting through this time of like a third world war and things like that. It's our lives are in it, because you and I are alive in this world right now, and something is happening, and it's a matter of us realizing that God is doing something, or we don't. Jesus Christ is returning. He is returning, and thank God that these things are happening, if we can realize that through these things and have a better understanding, because the tendency is for us to go through our lives and to learn things and to take knowledge in, but not really deeply live it. Yesterday, Pastor Moy gave an incredibly effective communication class in New York City. And those of us that went there could hear him saying these kind of themes there, right? He's talking about this kind of, he said, it's about relationship. It's not about authority. You don't achieve a lot by pressing down on people and saying, boom, you know, it's all about relationships. And that is what God is trying to get through to us. It's not that we are just obeying God and doing the things that he tells us to do. It is through his relationship and sending Jesus Christ into our lives and building that in our church is so important. It's all relational. It's not authoritative. And so our reaction and our interaction with others has to be relational, not just authoritative. And what did he say? You have to delve in deeper and spending time with people and getting to know people and knowing who they are and every part of their lives and sharing your life with theirs and these kind of things. And man, this world is not teaching that. What we're hearing there is, I want this country and I'm going to kill to do it. Destroying relationships, destroying all these things. And that is what we have to understand and not just think it's going to happen there, because it's going to happen here too. It is happening here. But the relationship that is most important, that teaches us the deeper things of life, is the one that we have with God who created us. And so if you want to remain on a certain level in your Christian stewardship and say, I'm just going to do this much, then you haven't understood what the gospel is. Because the gospel says that God gave everything. He gave his own son. He gave that which was dearest to him for the sake of all mankind. And if we belong to him, that is the attitude we need. And so we have to say, not for your sake, but to give to another. I'm going to be, and that is the function of the church in that regard. It is that kind of a way. We have to move along because this is I'm getting kind of bogged down in that, but I want to just make that point, okay, before we go further. So here we're going to get into this section that we're hearing about the function of the church. Of this gospel, I was made a minister of according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. This was given to him, the stewardship, right? The grace that was given to him. To me, though I am the very least of the saints, he knows that he was a Christian killer. But this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Right? To preach to the unsearchable riches of Christ. And so these unsearchable riches of Christ means that they're endless. They're greater than anyone can count. But these riches of Christ that he brings into this, and to bring the light to light everyone, what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. To bring us into that realm. And that's what we're talking about with Paul saying, I'm in a heavenly mindset. I'm not of this world. Even though I live here, I know where I'm going. I'm going to heaven. And that heaven is now at work here in my life. And we're going to see that now, just how real this is and how amazing this is that he's talking about, right? God who created all things. And then in verse 10, so that through the church, now listen to this. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God, the greatness, the manifold means just unsearchable. It's this incredibly big wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities where? In the heavenly places. And so this just turns everything that we usually think of in the church upside down. What are we doing it for? We're doing it so we can reach our neighbors. We're doing it and we're learning about God and his plan for creation. And we're living these things out and preaching the gospel. We're having Sunday school classes. We're coming together for worship. We're sending out missionaries. We are doing all of these things that we do in the church. And we're thinking we want to be able to reach mankind, these lost people in this world, with the gospel. And Paul says, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Did you ever think in that kind of terms, that what we're doing here in this church is reflecting what we think to people who are in heavenly places? to angels that are in the heavenly places, that the church and the purpose and the function of the church is to reflect Christ's love so that they can see it at work in the heavenly places, the authorities, the people up there. And that belongs to the fallen angels as well as the ones who are not fallen. So what we do here, everyone, and this is the thing that we really need to pray in the spirit for, is to be able to grasp what it is that we're doing here in this church. That what we do here, and that's why it's so amazingly important that we pay attention to the Bible and what God teaches us to do as a church, is not only having an effect on people around us here who are watching, but it's also for those who are in heavenly places. And this was according to the eternal purpose he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. The eternal purpose of God was that the church, his church here on earth, would have an effect on people, angels in the heavens. And this was according to his purpose, in whom we have boldness and access. It's through Jesus Christ. We have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. It's through Jesus Christ. And if we're going to begin now as a church, and I really hope that we are, that we are going to start to think as Paul, as someone who is not just living in this world for the sake of this world, and then one day it's going to be over, but that we have this concept of heaven. What I'm used to thinking with angels are, they're being used by God to help me. You have that feeling too? It's like, God, surround this person with angels. And I believe he'll do that. But let me read you what somebody wrote that I think is helpful. It helped me at least when I was starting to get into this. A guy named David Guzik has a really good, online commentary on Ephesians, and this is what he said. We are called to be the means by which God teaches the universe a lesson, and a beautiful lesson. The function of the church is not just to go in the community we live in and to present a beautiful lesson of the gospel. It is not just to go to a foreign country that is on this earth with a beautiful lesson. We are called as God's church to be the means by which God teaches the universe a lesson and a beautiful lesson. So from now on, what we used to be are people that said, we are a community in Christ that is reaching the Chinese people in Ridgefield Park and in this kind of an area, or we are in the English congregation, we're reaching other people, you know, people of diverse nationalities and things like that. We have now expanded that through God's word to see that we are to be affecting the universe in the way that we act, in the way that we live Christ. And the thing that speaks to me in that kind of a way is this, that my life has such importance to God, that he loves me and his grace is so incredibly great to look down on me. Just like Paul said, although I am undeserving, I am the least of the saints, and yet I have been brought into that kind of a picture. The least that I can do is give God all that I have. And I don't know what that is going to mean for me. I look at myself as just this small peon, an ant on the face of the earth, and yet God is saying, no, you are a steward of the gospel that is through the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, and people are going to hear about me through you, and they're going to see me at work in your life, and it's going to have an effect on the universe. And if it has an effect on the universe, then can we not in Grace Church have an effect in Russia? Can we not have an effect in Ukraine? Can we not have an effect in Burkina Faso? Can we not have an effect in Indonesia as a church here? Do you think it's by just some kind of a chance that God has brought someone from Burkina Faso into our church, or people from Indonesia into our church, or people from Taiwan or from China or Hong Kong or these kind of things? You see where this is going? We have an immense ministry. It is not limited here. It is to the universe. And they are all watching us and learning and seeing how God's love is lived out in that kind of a way. That is what God planned before the foundation of the earth. And that is what God does. He takes a limited, a place where we begin and say in this day, oh man, life is hard. I don't even know if I can get through this day. He takes us from that kind of a perspective and he wipes away all of those kind of things. And he said, wow, what a day I have in front of me today, because I am worshiping the God of the universe and he has given me a stewardship and a ministry for the universe. And thank God I belong to Grace Church, because that is a church that God has planned before the beginning of time so that that church can be effective in the community to Chinese and to other people that are not Chinese, but beyond that into the world. And he's going to use the Chinese and he's going to use the people that are not Chinese in that church to reach out into all the nations and make a difference in their lives and bring the hope of Jesus Christ there. And if we have anything less than that, then we are not understanding what Paul is talking about here. It is beyond all of us, man. And it's through the Spirit that we understand that. And that's what we have to understand today. It's through his Spirit that Paul is talking about these things all through it. So I ask you, here at the end of this paragraph, he says, so I ask you, please don't feel bad for me being in prison, you know, that I'm suffering here for you. It's for your glory. I'm suffering in this prison here for your glory. I can do all things through Christ, who died for me and loved me and is coming again. And I saw him, man, on a road where I was going to destroy life. And he turned me around and he gave me a heavenly perspective on things and showed me these things that nobody could even imagine in their wildest dreams. You know, we live in a world today. And I love the films, you know, that these films that come out, and they're a lot of fun to watch and stuff like that. But there's a lot of truth to them. Batman, there's a new Batman film, The Batman. There's Spider-Man, right? We hear about that. There's other ones. You can say they keep on making them, you know, it's like one after another, and people go and they're entertained. But it really is about good over evil, isn't it? The Superman is going to come and he's going to save the day. Right. I have a friend who came here, Paul Leggett, and he's really into comics and all these different kind of things. He loves that kind of stuff. And you know why? Because he sees Christ as a foundation in those stories. Superman came to rescue us from evil. And that is Jesus. Right. That is what. But the place that those movies fail is that those superheroes do not involve other people. They only bring the glory to themselves. And the movie ends and everybody goes home with a good feeling. They say, Superman or Batman saved the day. I can't wait to see what he does in the next installment. And what we say is that Jesus Christ came as and had a purpose for mankind, that he would work his power through his church, through his people, to make a difference and to save people and to bring them into the glory of God, so that they would not only have it in the spans of a 2-hour film, but they would be brought into eternity. So don't stop going to see these movies, but go with the perspective and understanding that this evil is being destroyed by Jesus Christ. Only he can do it. So that's really one of the things. So if that's not enough, we get into this next part. Just, we don't have much time, but just, it's so important. The other function and the blessing that comes is in this prayer that he talks about for spiritual strength. For this reason, talking about the fact that the church is reaching out to the universe with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I bow my knees before the Father. Who wouldn't? Right? I mean, God, you know, this is,
you want me to be reaching out to the universe. I can't do that. You feel that way? I can't do that. I can't grasp that. But God, through His Spirit, brings it into us. He lets us to see the things that Abraham was able to see through faith. Right? So that is the position that he gives us here.
I bow before, on my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. You see the expansiveness and the greatness of God and where he's taking us. It's not just the small kind of trapped feeling that we have in life. He's expanding us and giving us this great breadth and height and length and depth, all these things that we're going to. Every family in heaven and on earth is named by him, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. I have things in my life. I'm sure you have things in your life that you're struggling with. But man, that is what I need. I don't need a drink. I don't need a drug. I don't need something that's going to be temporarily getting me away from these things so that I can deal with life. I don't need a cell phone so I can start to, you know, do some things and to find some kind of a relief that most of us are doing. You know, we're trying to get away from the things that we're facing in life. But here it says, according to the riches of his glory, that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. So my inner being needs the Spirit of God working in me to take away all the things that are holding me back and making me sick and making me depressed and helping me to feel zero joy in life. And he's saying, I'm going to give you power, man, through the Holy Spirit. And that is what the church is given. And that is our function, to share that. Not to worry, is somebody going to think I'm crazy for believing in this? No. To say that this is exactly what people are waiting to hear in life. They need to hear something that is coming from a power that is greater than themselves, because they can't make it work. In your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. He dwells in our hearts through faith. Believe. I believe in Jesus. And then he just keeps on going because he's taken by the Spirit. You feel it? He's taken by the Spirit. He's not writing as Paul, right? He's saying this, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints, with all the people in the universe that are saints in the Lord, that are in heaven and on earth, to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God, man. Filled with the fullness of God. That is what God is seeking to do for us. Right? And that is what Paul wants for his people. And so that is what we need to be doing for each other. Enough of this kind of a lifeless church that we say, oh, I don't have time for this. You have to have time. Because if you don't, you won't be fulfilling what God has given you as a steward of his gospel for your purpose in life. Right? It's worth it to see the power of Jesus Christ and to see that he has come into our lives and has done all of that kind of thing. To know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may know, may be filled with all the fullness of God. So to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge means that it is going to be known. It surpasses our knowledge, but Christ in his greatness is going to make it known to us. And that's why Paul is driven to write these things to them. Now to him who is able to do far more abundant than all that we ask and think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. This would be, to me, this would be something that I would want to pray every day. When I get up in the morning and I feel like I can't make it, or I feel like there's a problem that comes up in my life, let's say you're going through your day and you're facing an obstacle, you're facing something that's going on, even if it means paying more, like the rent or being to pay for the bills and things like that, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Those are words of God for his church. And it's for Grace Church. And so we have an incredible blessing today, right? We have an incredible blessing from God. He does far more abundantly than all we ask or think. What about a person in your life that doesn't know the Lord? Be gone with all of the hopelessness and the thought that they'll never be saved. Get on your knees and pray for it. Be filled with the Spirit. Take and accept the abundance of God's grace and start to live it in your heart. You have to believe it. You cannot live as a Christian and feel like this is not going to happen. Not by my own ability to solve that problem, but it's through Jesus. And my life is going to now reflect things, because now I've been brought into a universe perspective, not just a vision for Grace Church to reach the community, but the universe. And of course, the community here is a part of that universe, and we need to do that. But it is that amazing teaching of Christ in our lives through Paul today that helps us to be able to see that it's not just here, that we're a part of something much greater than that. And that is the kind of life that we want to live. That's the kind of a life when a person goes to college and they have this kind of a knowledge and they say, I'm not just here to get a degree so that I can make money and I can buy a house and have a car and I can raise a family. I'm transported from that into the mindset that I am here for a purpose to make a difference in the universe. And that I'm being equipped in whatever I'm studying at school. And so I'm going to really study hard, and I'm going to give it all my best, and I'm going to get on my knees every day, and I'm going to say, Lord, is this what you want me to do? And then I'm going to do it if he tells me it is. But if he calls me in another direction, then I'm going to obey him and I'm going to do it. But my relationship, it's not about authority. God saying, boom, you're a Christian, you got to do what I say. It's about a relationship where you love God so much because of what he's done for you that you live your life completely for him.